Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Redo, remix. Remember that movie with Leslie Nielsen?
Absolutely.
You picked the wrong week, just quit sniffing glue or whatever.
I mean, yeah.
This is apropos. January,
yes, exactly, exactly. Well, Georgia fans, maybe you could talk some of the Georgia fans off the ledge and tell them not to start sniffing glue or start back sniffing glue. Is that something you can do?
Yeah. I would say that the next, I don't know, two or three weeks, the next week's going to be fairly interesting for Georgia fans. You know, everybody's got a phone. Everybody's getting things left and right. And, you know, there's possibilities that abound. The thought that Georgia could add maybe one, maybe two graduate transfer quarterbacks. The fact that they could couple that with a five-star tight end at 6'7.5" and two or three receivers, folks. I'm just going to lay it to you straight. You know, George Pickens was a great talent. Dominic Blaylock was a great talent. I expect at least two of those dudes that they just signed from Jermaine Burton, Marcus Rosemy, Arian Smith, Justin Robinson. I expect at least two of those guys to make the same sort of splash in the offense early that Blaylock and Pickens did a year ago. And, man, that's all of a sudden a lot of toys for Georgia's offense to hit the 2020 season with. And, you know, should have, like, even one or two of these things come to play. You know, Jamie Newman's a name. Chase Bryce is a name. You know, should these things come into play, guys, including, like, graduate transfer portal tight ends like Trey McKitty or graduate transfer like Tarik Black, should all this stuff come to play, it just won't be that new and exciting thing for the Georgia offense for folks to get excited about. Just going to be a big, bold step, potentially, in the direction of what LSU had this year. Not full LSU, not full-blown Joe Brady, but a good Georgia-sized step in that direction.
Jeff, so let's a lot of this, though, is going to hinge on, you know, a team having to put its offensive line back together, or not necessarily completely start over, but it certainly feels like it. Of the pieces that are coming in, which of these guys are, would you say, are most ready to play? And I know Broderick Jones doesn't count yet, and we'll see what happens with him. But what do you feel about the guys that Georgia has coming in on the offensive line?
Yeah, great question. And I think it's going to force Georgia fans to kind of look at themselves in the mirror a little bit. Because, listen, Georgia was a 10 out of 10 in terms of scouting and big bodies and future pros on the offensive line a year ago. They had all the returning starter bluster and might we could imagine. And that was a unit that didn't fulfill its full potential last year in 2019. That is my opinion. And you've got a guy, you mentioned Broderick Jones first. I think that's huge because Cade Mays leaving, it creates a negative deficit in terms of true bona fide left tackles in the program. You hear Xavier Truss, an All-American, in the mix there as a potential left tackle. Broderick Jones is certainly a left tackle in every sense and shape of the term. He's like a ballerina out there, the way he can be athletic and mirror guys out on the edge. I saw Darnell Washington and Broderick Jones practice every day for 4 or 5 days late last month, and Broderick might even be more athletic than Darnell Washington. That's how talented he is at 6'6" and about 285. He's down some pounds right now. Tackles are the main thing, but I don't want anybody on this program that's listening in real close to start thinking about poor Georgia here with the offensive line. There's still a five-star Jamari Salyer who could be a great right tackle. There's still Trey Hill, who's a returning 3-year starter. Look what Warren Erickson out of North Gwinnett showed in his audition of sorts at the Sugar Bowl. You got Justin Schaefer coming back. You got what's going to happen with Ben Cleveland. I'm sure a lot of schools in the SEC would love to have Georgia's problems at offensive line with guys coming back. And another name I'm going to throw in there is a guy, Tate Ratledge, I think that could help right away at guard, if not tackle. He's already signed. And Cedric Von Prongranger. depending on how adept he shows he can be at center, and I think he can show he can be very adept at center, it might give you another possibility there to maybe move Trey Hill around or move Cedric around in a really reconfigured Georgia offensive line. It's going to get a little bit smaller, but a lot more mobile for that perimeter run game and trying to pull guys in the power, some of those power read formations.
So, and by the way, that was a great answer. One other name I want to ask you about, we're not going into the details of the thing, but is Clay Webb still a possibility, probability, however you would want to phrase it?
Yeah. I'm going to be very careful here because that's one of the most interesting news stories I've ever encountered. But first of all, I think the biggest thing right now is court of public opinion there with Clay Webb. Right now, I'm not a lawyer. Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have been a journalist for the last 20 years. But for me, guys, I think Clay Webb, until he decides to go elsewhere, he still should be considered. I think he's a guard, not a center in Georgia's program for the near future. He's really mobile. He's a former state championship wrestler. The things I know about Clay Webb is he loved being at Georgia. He loved working out in Sinclair's program. He loved getting better. The thought of this incident and this allegation, which actually dates back well in advance of his time at Georgia, well in advance of the time when he was a senior at Oxford High School, there's the Pittman factor in terms of the main reason he went to Georgia was because of Sam Pittman, and now you've got this other, unfortunate allegation in the court of law as well. But Kate, I think the thing that we've arrived at with Georgia is when you start rolling off names that have to rise up and kind of spackle in and fill a new gap, literally in the Georgia Great Wall, I don't think Georgia needs Clay Webb to pop and play well and hold down the starting spot. Another name I want to make sure I mention is Warren McClendon Jr.
Yeah.
That's a Georgia legacy. He was a guy that James Cooley, I don't know if everybody remembers Cooley's press conference at the Sugar Bowl, but that was a name that came up a lot. Warren McClendon is another one of those guys that has guard and tackle flexibility, especially right tackle, and that's what Georgia's getting here with a lot of members of its class, a lot of members of its 2D, which projects for Matt Luke's first full season in Athens. They've got a lot of guys that can play guard and maybe right tackle. The main thing I'll come back to is the true left tackle, the guy that can mirror an edge rusher like a Nolan Smith, like an Azeez Ojulari. Those guys are hard to come by, and I think Georgia, should they retain Broderick Jones, would have one of those guys in that young man from Lithonia High School.
Jeff, I'm going to share the sentiments with our buddy Brandon Adams and say that no matter who tells me to feel confident about Broderick Jones as a Bulldog, until that letter of intent is signed, until the UGA football team tweets out that graphic, that I'm not going to feel 100%. But now you've got an article on Dog Nation where he set some official visits, a little bit interesting. He's now going to go to Arkansas, then Georgia. But now I'm noticing, and you're reporting, that Auburn's getting that final visit, which doesn't make a lot of Georgia fans happy about that. But what does that change, if anything, about Broderick in his next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think Georgia fans with Broderick Jones are going to be like that high school boy that's a sophomore and dating an upperclassman, maybe. Like, it's always going to be like, are we good? Everything great? Why aren't you calling me back? You know, why didn't she text back type thing? Everybody's going to want to make sure that we good and everything else with Georgia and Jones. Here's what I know about Jones. Number one, I think it is interesting timing how Georgia's not getting the last official visit, but they're getting the one the week prior to that. That's the one that Cedric Von Prawn Granger, the other got-to-have commitment in the class that must be signed for Georgia to still grab that number one overall class in 2020. Those two guys are going to come and visit together. I think that's more important than anybody making any other visit independently. Everybody follows the crystal balls. I only know what I've known for 2.5+ years of covering Broderick Jones. Is location was always going to be a major issue for his family to come see him and to come see him play. I think that the news there with Sam Pittman getting his official visit, I guess it shows that not everybody that's connected to the Georgia offensive line wants to go to Tennessee now, because Cade Mays, Tennessee, that was where Sam Pittman's official to Arkansas got swapped out for. He dropped the Tennessee official visit, Mr. Jones did, in order to add an Arkansas visit. But this is a guy, you just watch these boys together. I know in recruiting, one of the things that we fall upon is maybe a lexicon or a prism and way to kind of look at all these guys, follow the visits. Well, at the Under Armour All-American game, it was hard not to follow who was following everyone around. And Darnell Washington and Broderick Jones were basically joined together at the hip. They were always hanging out. Throw in Cedric Bond, Pron Granger, Chad Lindbergh, those guys, Marcus Roseme. Those guys were all hanging out together. And the thought of all of them playing together on a great offensive line in college still exists greatly in their minds, and it won't be there if everybody goes in a different direction. I know Auburn's always been in there, but Georgia for the longest time. I mean, I got to go all the way back to April, March of 2018 with Broderick Jones. He is going to be a unicorn to me in terms of recruiting, because I remember sitting in his coach's office at Lithonia High School. He answered a question a certain way. He answered a question a certain way again. And I just looked at him and I said, dude, have you already made your commitment to Georgia? He's like, yeah, long time ago. and folks, this just doesn't happen in terms of pre-write stories and leaks and crystal balls. His coaches are there with me, and they look at me, and they go, hold on a second. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I kind of had one of those incredulous looks. And the coaches was like, you know, you're the first one that actually asked him that question. And I looked at the other guy, and he's like, yeah, man, it's true. He's like, he's committed to Georgia like twice now. And it's funny because everybody asks these questions. Who is your leaders? Who is your best recruiting relationship? Who do you feel the strongest to? Who are you going to visit next? Nobody ever actually asked Broderick Jones, hey, have you committed anywhere yet? He's like, Georgia. And I was like, hold on, folks. I got to write a story.
Yeah, he's like, oh, well, I wasn't expecting that.
Love it.
Yeah, that's interesting. It really is. Hey, take us through a little bit about what, he's in town now, Carson Beck. I know his season started out kind of slow down there in Jacksonville, but what kind of fall did he have, and what can be some realistic expectations for him?
Yeah, first of all, I want you to laugh along with me if this sounds familiar. Carson Beck was the returning Mr. Football in the state of Florida as his junior year. I think he threw 17 touchdowns and one interception. That was a tip ball in the Florida State playoffs. He took a 2-8 team to a state championship for the program's first ever state championship. But then for his senior year, he looked around and all of his receivers were gone. the only returning senior amongst his wide receivers was a senior that was not even a starter. Carson Beck was one of only two guys that even had a scholarship offer on his offense, and he was only one of two returning starters. The other guy was a part-time starter off that championship team, so he was kind of devoid of playmakers. And he started out with, I think, nine touchdowns and eight interceptions. He was completing only like 50% of his passes, and he had to get used to kind of doing more with less in terms of guys that couldn't beat coverage, or the window to put the ball in there was very, very small. And Carson is a guy, I wanted to make sure I wrote that story, especially with all the grad transfer interest swirling, because this is a guy that I think that Georgia people need to know about. He's a guy that, you know, when he can access every part of the field. There's no reliance on a back shoulder a lot of times, or guys that have to set and wait for the ball. I think one of the most telling things about Carson Beck, his trainer told me, he's worked with a lot of guys. He's worked with Joey Gatewood. He's worked with Anthony Richardson, who's now at Florida. He's worked with Jeff Sims, who's now at Georgia Tech. And he said, number one, that Carson is the most ready to take over a college program quarterback he's ever worked with. But the thing Georgia fans, I think they're ready to hear is a guy at quarterback that just has the absolute cannon. And was evidenced by his trainer telling me that Carson Beck can throw a 50-yard pass in a game three different ways. He can arc it and let a guy run under it. He can layer it over a layer of coverage and a safety, or he can simply just pipe it down the field where the ball looks like it's running parallel to the green grass. And that's arm talent that Georgia hasn't had in a while in terms of all the things that Carson can bring to the table. He's went through a lot of adversity in his life. His offensive coordinator at Mandarin High told me this, and he's a third-generation Bulldog. His grandfather and his great-grandfather played at played at the University of Georgia. He said, man, I know people are going to get on me about this, and they're going to think, what are you doing? But he compared Carson Beck. He said, this is Matthew Stafford's arm with Jake Fromm's brain.
Hmm.
That is what I see out of this quarterback.
Wow.
And that's not unrealistic expectation.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I guess we're good then.
Yeah, exactly.
We got our guy already.
Yeah, no need for a grad transfer.
Absolutely. Jeff, certainly appreciate your time this morning, but also I want to ask about this, and I know you're ready more than anybody else in this universe, I'm sure, to never be asked about Zach Evans again, so I'm not going to ask you about Zach Evans. That's water under the bridge as far as we're concerned here, but that is a spot that Georgia was heavy after this cycle, was a second running back. Over the next couple of weeks, will we expect to see Georgia go all in on another one, or is that a spot that may just wait until next year to address the running back issue?
Yeah, that's funny. The one thing you don't hear a lot with Georgia on the grad transfer market yet is a grad transfer running back, even though that would make a lot of sense, because those guys are the easiest plug-and-play players that you can drop into an offense. You know, maybe this opportunity, guys, is just a chance for Georgia. You know, again, it almost feels a little bit like greed, where you have Kendall Milton. That guy's going to be special for the Bulldogs. You have Kenny McIntosh. Everybody's just waiting for him to get major carries. You get Zamir White, who to me started looking a lot more like Zeus in the Sugar Bowl game when he knew he was going to get constantly fed the ball and knew that he was going to be a big part of the game plan. You got the mercurial James Cook. What's going to happen there? Really, Georgia is looking for another running back, a fifth running back. I think numbers are very good now, considering that Cade Mays has made his decision. Jake Fromm has made his decision. I think there'll probably be another portal guy or two that leaves the program soon. But Robert Beal, I got confirmation from his family earlier this week that he's out of the portal, and the intent for him now is to stick and stay at Georgia. So I think Georgia has a few scholarships. But, you know, one of the things about Zach Evans, and it's just unfortunate, people want to sound like the know-it-all reporter and put all his business out there. You know, for me, even though I know that story very well, I'm just kind of not going to do that to a young man. I mean, even if a young man he's probably responsible for one of the four gray hairs on my head right now in terms of having to constantly prepare for the news and the news that doesn't happen. Just want to wish him well. I mean, he's a great talent, but Georgia's backfield is going to be very good in 2020. That Milton kid, I think, has the ability to get one B, you know, bell cow, 1A, 1B type starters reps early in Georgia for Athens, because it's just going to be so hard to get that young man on the ground. He's not as fast as Gurley, but in terms of getting him on the ground, I remember reporters and people were telling me coming out of Georgia when Gurley was first on campus, yeah, he's fast, but it's just so hard to get him on the ground and tackle him. And from day one, that's what Kendall Milton will bring to the Georgia football program.
Jeff Sintel, DogNation.com, recruiting guru. Before we let you go, since he is local to us, and I'm, you know, not to give away all your secrets, but what was the timing, or what caused the timing on Brock Vandegrift's decommitment from Oklahoma?
Yeah, I think it's totally about location. I think that family just wanted to get closer to home. He just wanted to play a lot closer to home. Beloved grandparents, parents, you know, family. I think it's only 18 miles or 18 minutes, depending on traffic, from Prince Avenue Christian to Sanford Stadium on a good day. Yeah. Stop here, guys.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. If anybody wants to know if the Georgia staff has learned something from experience, you know, remember in 2016, 2017, 18, when there was a fellow named Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence and Jake Fromm and Jacob Eason kind of swirling about in terms of potential quarterbacks for Georgia? Well, the 2021-2022 cycle has that same sort of conundrum when you're looking at things with Brock Vandegrift, such a talented five-star quarterback out of Prince Avenue Christian. You got Caleb Williams, another five-star out of Washington, D.C., who might still be leaning towards LSU right now. And then you got young Gunnar Stockton in the 2022 class. You know, how do you sign two of those guys? How do you sign one of those guys? Do you want to go and sign the bird in the hand rather than the two in the bush type quarterback to lock down the future of your program? You know, when you've got Carson Beck already on campus and how much he may or may not play with Dwan Mathis and the potential with a graduate transfer, man, that quarterback puzzle is going to be another Rubik's Cube for Georgia to figure out in the 2021 and the 2022 classes.
Jeff, great stuff as always, my man. Thank you very much. And tell that Mike Griffith to quit hogging all those meetings.
All right, guys. You guys have yourself a wonderful weekend. Maybe there'll be good news popping sometime soon.
All right, brother. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you, Jeff.
Yes,
all right.
Sir.
All right. Jeff Sintel, he is the recruiting guru at DogNation.com.
He covers
for the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.